Welcome to Dial a Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz. I am joined tonight by Dork Almighty Matt Minar. And that's it.
Yeah, you know, we're flying a duo, duistically, tonight.
It's kind of like...
We're a duality.
We're like those blimp pilots.
Blimp pilots?
Yeah, like in the the Goodyear blimp commercial. It's just these two guys in the cockpit flying the blimp. There's no passengers. No,
two dudes.
No cargo.
Two dudes dressed like nuns.
Just two dudes and a shitload of hot air.
Yeah, oh, that would be us, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for feeding that joke to all of us listeners, because we did not get it.
Whee! Okay, so here we are. A million bazillion things to talk about. We got video clips, Shane's video clip of the week. We have, I don't know if we have any free software.
No.
I don't know if we have Dork Almighty's free software of the week, but I have a YWOW.
We have a YWOW?
We have a YWOW.
Really?
Yoko's website of the week.
Awesome.
We have Tim Wurzel's bare metal question of the week.
Which is more like a survey.
More like a survey, but, you know.
Well, it feels good. I liked it.
I love survey type questions. And we have anything else? Any other segments?
No.
Okay,
not
great.
That I can recall.
Well, let's
anyway.
Just jump right in. What do you want to do first? We have... news and items of interest and, you know, assorted bits.
Should we cover, like, any heavy news, like the shooting of that pregnant lady over there in, or any of the, you know, the GOP getting
bloody awful.
Get the immigration bill through. And
Dick Cheney,
like
Dick
Cheney
not filing his paperwork with the National Archives.
Right. Or how about the one where the vice presidency does not count as a branch of the executive?
Well, you know,
it
was
office.
Funny. The Daily Show showed a clip of Dick Cheney in 2001 saying that some request by Congress of him, he's like, you know, I am a member of the executive branch and I think it's inappropriate. So it's like, what the fuck is up with this guy? Also, George Herbert Walker Bush said claims atheists aren't citizens and can't be patriots.
Yeah, well...
He said it's one nation under God, after all.
What I want to know is...
You know what? It doesn't matter. He's totally irrelevant and it makes no difference. I don't care what he says. Totally irrelevant.
All right. Well, anyway. So,
by the way, there's the day of radio silence. Internet radio.
June 26th. I guess that was today, wasn't it?
I think it was today.
It is today.
You will notice that we are not silent.
Well, but we're not a radio station. We are a podcast.
That's true.
I thought that only said internet radio because they were, standing up to the man, the FCC, in terms of lobby.
Well,
laying down the tax laws on the internet.
It was the royalties, isn't it? Like they have to pay 23 cents a song or
some nonsense like that, you know, which even small radio stations don't have to pay. So
I'm not aware of.
I don't know how the hell they're. It's all fucked up.
Well.
Pardon my French.
No problem.
German.
I don't. You know, I don't listen to internet radio, so I don't know.
You know, I used to. I used to listen to digitally imported.com every now and again.
Digitally imported.
Yeah, they're internet radio station out of New York City. Bunch of different stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, but that was really about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Incidentally.
Anyway, incidentally.
If you haven't.
I have not.
And I think this is going to be one of Shane's YouTube clips of the week, even though it's not on YouTube.
Yet.
Yeah. Or maybe it is already. I don't know. Okay. But I suggest that when you get a chance, you go over to Apple.com and you watch the demo video of the iPhone.
I did. I downloaded all 100 or 300 megs of it.
I did. I watched it today.
In large format. I watched it the other
night. I watched it today. I highly recommend you wear some sort of bib. Or apron, or some sort of drool catcher.
You know, my brother, you're gonna
tell me you weren't impressed.
Your jaw is
tell me you
be
weren't
on
impressed.
The floor when I utter the next sentence.
Or just tell. All right, look, you it's okay if you're not gonna buy one. It's okay if you don't think it's right for you. But you can't tell me that isn't one of the most jaw-dropping exhibitions of technology you've ever seen.
All right, you're right. I can't say that.
I mean, it
I
is.
I would like to say that though, because. They linked together a bunch of really, like, pop culture-ish functionality.
What are you talking about?
Link to YouTube? Who gives a fuck? Why do I want that on my cell phone? Do you know how much data rates cost on a cell phone plan?
All of the iPhone plans come with unlimited data.
Yeah.
Starting at as little as $60 a month for, like, 450 anytime minutes and unlimited data. So... Do you care to revise your statement, sir?
No, I don't care to revise it. I still think that the material, you know, some of the functionality they're linking is kind of nonsensical.
Forget the fucking YouTube, because you can go to m.youtube.com.
Yeah.
And get YouTube on your mobile.
Any mobile.
And it works pretty well, actually. Right. I mean, the video was a little choppy on my E62, which I was shocked by.
Well,
but go ahead.
The functionality that I did appreciate a lot was the integrated, like, mapping.
Oh, sure.
And doing the directions. And it
well,
tells
and
you,
the fact that, like, right if somebody, you know, sends you an email with a phone number in it, you basically just click on the phone number and it dials it.
But I can do that on my phone.
But it doesn't work perfectly on my phone. I have to use.
It works perfectly on mine.
It doesn't work perfectly on mine, so
maybe
it seems like it's.
Maybe you should update your software.
No, because my phone has two different browsers. One is a WAP browser, and one is a more standards compliant browser, and that one doesn't. That's the one I use more, and it doesn't have that phone number deal. I can call phone numbers out of a text message on my phone, but, you know, you can do that on the iPhone and the iPod, of course, is pretty sweet.
The other thing that I was thinking as I was watching the video, and the video admittedly is very well done, very, very professional looking. The other thing I was thinking is that given the touchscreen interface and all the fancy smanchy stuff you have to do with your fingers, I wonder, like, the shortcutability of some of the functions.
Did your mic turn off or something? You were, like, really
low.
No,
am I really low? I'm trying not to yell and scream.
Okay, that's cool.
So I'll bring it up a piece or two here. When you're... And I don't advocate driving while you're talking on the cell phone, but let's be honest, we all do it.
All right, let me tell you what I'm severely worried about.
What are you worried
about?
On the
iPhone.
Go ahead.
I'm worried about that damn keyboard.
Yeah.
But it says that it's smart, and that even if you have a big-ass thumb, it kind of... is going to be able to guess what word you're trying to type based on the combination of... So, like, you know, you push in the upper left corner of the keyboard, well, it's going to be Q, W, E, A, or S.
Right.
And then based on your second choice, you know, it's going to start to be able to, algorithmically narrow it down to the word you're trying to...
I bet you it's really good, too.
This is T9
functionality on any text phone that you've got.
It's T9 on steroids because...
Maybe. We'll see.
Because T9 only has to do, three letters at a time.
Well, no, I see what you're saying.
Oh,
I
know what you're saying. You're saying it's just you start a word and
there's only so many you can go, and that's what T9 does.
T9 on the old phones, it didn't have a full QWERTY keyboard. What do you do, like A, B, or C, or
yeah,
D, or
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. But they still do that.
This is
Blackberry
kind of. I mean, you're right. It's T9, plus.
Right. So, I don't know. For $600,
shit, dude. It is so incredible.
If it was not that expensive, I certainly would buy one.
Well, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, after the rush is over, I'm just pissed because, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I had Apple at $40.
Do you sold it?
I sold it at 60-something.
So it's a good sell.
Yeah, well, it's at 120.
Well,
and it may have split also.
Dude, you can't run down that mindset when you're trading stocks. You just can't do that.
Well, that's why I don't trade stocks, because I eat myself alive. Eat myself alive! Okay.
Yes.
So I really think that I think you should go at least just check out the demo video if you haven't already. Go over to apple.com and see if you can track it down. It's really incredible.
I stopped in at the Best Buy down at Steelyard Commons this weekend looking for a Wii, which are still almost impossible to get your hands on.
They don't have any there?
No.
I'm amazed that you even brought that up, because Dory gave me for Father's Day, she gave me a gift card to Best Buy, and I'm like, you know what, I think I'm gonna go buy a goddamn Wii.
Yeah, you still
can. And me and the wife are gonna play Wii tennis.
Exactly. So I'm talking to the sales lady on Saturday, because we had that motorcycle class this weekend.
That place is freaking empty. How could they be out of Wiis?
It's amazing, and I don't understand it. So I'm talking to her. I'm like, are you getting, when's the next shipment? And she's like, well, we don't really know, but maybe you should come tomorrow, and we might have some in. And she was, like, winking, and I'm like, oh, okay.
So you went in there the next
I'm
day.
I'm like, cool. And I'm like,
this was today or yesterday?
No, this was Sunday. Oh. So I went in Saturday and Sunday. They didn't have any Saturday. The shipment comes Sunday. But I had motorcycle class this weekend, so that was from 7:45 in the morning till like 2 in the afternoon.
You missed him.
So, would you just let me tell my damn story? It's okay. Boring as hell, but you know. So we're going to the bar. I'm with, you know, the master Googler, and we're like, all right, we're going to stop and get a beer before, you know, with the other guys that I was in class with. So we were driving to Lakewood, and I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I was kind of thinking I'd stop by Best Buy and get a Wii. He's like, oh, you know, you can go after or something like that. So I decided to drop in afterwards, and they had sold the last Wii not an hour before I had showed
fool.
Up. Fool.
Damn
yeah,
fool.
I'm an idiot.
You're a damn fool.
So I have them look it up, and they're like, well, they've got several out at the Chapel Hill location.
I'm North
like,
Carolina?
Where the hell is that? And they're like, somewhere around Akron. I'm like, well, don't they got them around Akron? There's nobody there who wants to buy them.
Nobody can afford them.
There's a little
LeBron.
Bit more depressed than Cleveland, yeah.
I think only LeBron James and I think that's it.
Yeah. So anyway, the other tidbit of information was that Best Buy and other mass market stores will be able to sell the iPhone like a month after this initial blast to
then
the
maybe
AT&T.
I wonder if I should save my gift card for the iPhone.
I think you should.
Although I don't know if I'm going to get an iPhone right away. I might wait like I tell people to wait on Vista or whatever.
Yep.
Like maybe there's
going
to be a service pack or, yeah, revision 2 or, you know, because...
The thing is, I mean, it's based on OS X.
Oh, it has an airplane mode.
And it has... Well, a lot of phones have that now.
Okay, good.
I noticed mine shut off automatically when I got on the airplane. I was like, what the
it
hell
It shut off
was
automatically?
That? Yep.
How do they do that?
The airplanes broadcast a signal, and the phone does
knows
the right
what
thing
to do.
With it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's clever.
I was kind of a little bit ticked, because then we were sitting on the runway for like
a
half an hour,
then
you can't do anything.
Turn that shit off.
Right.
Fucking assholes. That's bad.
Anyway.
Bad.
Anyway. So, yeah, go check out the iPhone thing. Oh.
Yes. Oh, and also, if you're looking for another video to watch, and I don't mean, this is not my kid. Yes, I have a kid.
But this is not
my
your
whole
kid.
Life does not revolve around children now.
No.
However, if you go to video.google.com or Google Video and you do a search for laughing baby, you'll see this little kid in a blue bib sitting in a high chair, and his dad keeps making a noise, and the kid just keeps lapsing into hysterical laughter, and he's like a year old.
Nice.
And it's a really funny laugh too, where he like goes silent. You know, like he like laughs so hard that it goes like silent, and he just seems like a kid that in 20 years, it's going to be, like, awesome to go drinking with. That's what it seems like. But anyway.
That was nice of you to
laughing
give
baby.
The 21 time period there instead of, you know, when most kids go drinking at, like, 16 to 18.
Well, I don't want to go drinking with an 18, but, you know.
Well, right.
Somebody who's actually been drinking a few times.
I mean, I suppose people should go and watch the video of Paris Hilton strolling out of the jail, which was... trite and stupid, but anyway.
I was actually very curious to find out what happened, and, you know, and I was, I guess, although it is amazing how much we give a damn about celebrities and stuff.
We don't.
I guess we just do not want to hear about the really bad shit that's just going on all around us.
It's like
the maelstrom is going on around us, and we want to know what's going on right in the center, you know?
It's like watching a train wreck, really.
I guess
you just
it
can't,
is.
You know,
can't tear your
can't
eyes
tell
away
your eyes
from
away.
It.
Yeah.
What's up with this
how
puppy
come,
Linux?
You know, how come the iPhone didn't do a deal with PornoTube or something like that?
RedTube?
Yeah.
Well, who's to say you can't
say you
bring
can't.
It up on Safari?
True enough. All right, so what's this other thing you're talking
puppy
about?
Puppy Linux?
Haven't seen it.
The sad tale of how the hope and excitement of a promising distro turned to fear and loathing in Linux land.
Eh.
All right. The average U.S. download speed is now 1.97 megabits per second.
Yeah, but we're lagging behind the entire world in
versus
in
61 megabits per second enjoyed by the Japanese.
Yeah.
61.
61.
But see, the Japanese is like... The Japanese technology scene with... You know, look. Look.
Look.
We've talked about this before on this show. But in 1990, every classroom, every office, and every dorm room...
Was wired.
On Case campus... Was wired with fiber optic Ethernet.
That's right, people. Fiber.
Fiber to every single room on campus. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
there was some high-speed mudding going on at that campus.
There was nothing going on because we had more bandwidth than we knew what to do with. This was before There were web browsers. I mean, all you could do is go on FTP.
That's why I'm saying there was some high speed modding going on.
Try to find, you know, fucking.
Oh, the architect joins us.
Yoko, welcome, the architect.
You guys aren't drinking.
We actually have one more celebrator if you want it. It's good. I liked it.
No, I'm glad you like it. You're free to, you know. It's yours, bud.
So, Dory / Yoko, are you going to share some of your entries, favorite entries from your... let me just say that... May I talk about this on the air?
Do I have a mic?
Any of those.
There's three of them
laying
there, so yes.
Do all of these work?
Well, let's wait and see.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me?
That's you.
Groovy.
Yeah, I think you're good. So, Dory, can I mention what you've done?
You can tell everyone what I've done. Sure, why not?
Okay, so Dory has completed a 18-month project that she created for herself, creating one of those tearaway, you know, day calendars. Like a desk calendar.
Day-by-day calendar.
A day-by-day calendar.
Oh, yeah, like the ones they get, like, the Far Side jokes on them or, you know,
exactly.
365 days of duct tape or something like that.
There you go. Perfect.
Which is published by the publisher that I'm trying to contact.
Really? So Dory has written her own calendar.
Excellent.
It is called Pregnant Pauses.
Good name.
And it is a gestation calendar.
I know what that is.
Maybe we should talk about this after it's been copywritten. By the
way,
how do I copyright?
It's pretty much copywritten.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Didn't we have to pay like a $100 fee or something?
Well, yeah. I mean, you it's not trademarked.
But I mean, to copyright something and say copyright.
Copyright.
What do you have to do?
Copyright is almost like de facto, based on my understanding. Like
no, not
well.
Not
as long
mine.
As you can substantiate that you like produced it before someone else.
Yeah, but then
and that they might have. Taken it from you.
Let's clarify that because then it becomes
an
argument
of time. Little by little?
So one of the ways you can avoid having a problem if you have not gone through the legal process of copywriting it is to mail it by certified letter to yourself and never open it because that is considered a valid and legal
I think that's
date
probably total bull crap.
Interesting.
And it only costs you a couple bucks.
I think that's like probably like urban, what,
this is
urban
a great
legend
this
or
is
whatever.
A great idea.
Let me see. Let's look up the old copyright FAQ.
Let's
anyway,
not.
Look, the point is that the calendar...
We all know your listenership is wide and varied and that they might be there poaching my
10
idea
big
right
myths
now.
About copyright explained.
Okay, please. What website are you looking at there, Irv?
www.templetons.com, which is the website of Brad Templeton, which is... It's just a blog, basically.
Shut up. I love the preconception period. This is great stuff.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm telling you, this thing is
happy
funny.
Happy baby making.
I'm telling you, this is a funny-ass calendar, and it's designed for, like, basically, like, women who have taken time out of their careers
right.
to have kids, or women who maybe never intended to have kids, or just women who are, you know, going to have kids and just going to be, and just gonna be a mom, but they were, you know, professionals, college education. It's just for a mature, salty-tongued, swear like a sailor, you know, beer swilling chicks. I don't know. A modern woman. Okay. Note that this is an essay about copyright myths. It assumes you know at least
what
copyright is.
Wait, this is coming from some Joe Blow blog. I mean, we can't rely on this as legal advice.
Don't you know that everything you read on the internet is true?
I have a feeling that this is going to... Look, it was second. It's the second highest rank on Google, which means it's linked to...
Well, I'm sorry, the first highest rank was probably some kiddie porn site.
No, it was
site
from the U.S. Copyright Office, you fool. Listen, number
why
one...
Why would you listen to the U.S. Copyright Office, then?
Because that's probably going to be written... This is going to be written in a much more digestible manner.
Okay, go.
Okay, can I just read the effing things?
No.
And I'd love to read on the air.
I know.
Number one. Hey, maybe we could do a quiz, because everything's written like a... not a quiz.
This is good.
Never mind.
Suck.
Number one, if it doesn't have a copyright notice, it's not copyrighted.
If it doesn't have a what?
If it doesn't have a copyright notice, it is not copyrighted.
So if it doesn't say copyright.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it says copyright.
Well, this
you
was.
You hear that, bitches? It says copyright.
This
right
was
now.
True in the past, but today almost all major nations follow the Berne Copyright Convention, BERNE, For example, in the USA, almost everything created privately and originally after April 1, 1989 is copyrighted and protected, whether it has a notice or not. The default you should assume for other people's works is that they are copyrighted and may not be copied unless you know otherwise. There are some old works that lost protection without notice, but frankly, you should not risk it unless you know for sure.
Okay, dude, you don't need to read that word for word. Could you just summarize?
Well, basically, the notice strengthens the protection by warning people and by allowing one to get more and different damages, but it is not necessary. If it looks copyrighted, it is.
Nice.
Correct form is copyright date by author slash owner. You can use C in a circle instead of copyright, but C has never been given legal force.
Where is it? Where is the copyright thing?
Down at the bottom.
The phrase all rights reserved used to be required in some nations, but is now not legally needed at most places. So it's copywritten already, Dory. It is already copywritten.
Wait, what does that say? My eyes are terrible. Pregor Productions.
That's the name of my company.
That is great. Okay. It's backwards. It's supposed to be copyright 2007 Pregor Productions, yeah. LLC.
Do you think they're really going to be upset about that?
It's fine.
No.
Okay.
I just like to see the look on your face. That was classic.
If I don't charge for it, it's not a violation. False. Whether you charge can affect the damages awarded in court, but that's a main difference under the law. It's still a violation if you give it away, and there can still be serious damages if you hurt the commercial value of a property. So, you can't take someone's copywritten work and just give it away. Well, no, just give it away.
Right. Right.
You can't like take it. Yeah, all right.
Okay, so now everyone in your listening audience knows this has been copywritten by Pregor the Terrible, a.k.a. Yogo.
If you don't defend your copyright, you lose it. Somebody has that name copyrighted. False. Copyright is effectively never lost these days unless explicitly given away. You also can't copyright a name or anything short like that, such as almost all titles. You may be thinking of trademarks, which apply to names and can be weakened or lost if not defended. You generally trademark terms by using them to refer to your brand of a generic type or product or service. What you're probably thinking of is a service mark, not a trademark for like pregnant pauses or something like that. Might be a trademark. I don't know. If I make up my own stories but base them on another work, my new work belongs to me. False. U.S. copyright law is quite explicit that the making of what are called derivative works, works based or derived from another copyrighted work, is the exclusive province of the owner of the original work.
All right, stop.
Except for parody.
I'm dying. I think everyone's asleep now.
I agree.
No one is asleep right now because no one's listening. Actually,
Me
and Dork Almighty are asleep now.
Oh, shut up.
We don't have it anymore.
You love to read on the air. I mean...
I think he likes the sound of his voice. It's so melodic.
Oh, maybe. I didn't really thought about that.
I don't really have an
egotistical vision of Irv in my head.
Really? You haven't spent enough time with him? I'm just kidding.
Well, not as much as you have, but I mean...
I'm joking.
I have been around.
All right. We'll go to the www.copyright.gov. Also has a
/help/
FAQ.
Good. Okay. All right, that's wonderful. And if we had show notes, it would be in the notes.
When is my work protected? Your work is under copyright protection the moment it is created and fixed in a tangible form that it is perceptible either directly or with the aid of a machine or device. So basically, you've written it down, it's copyrighted.
There you go. Good job.
Well done. Well,
I've heard about a poor man's copyright. What is it? The practice of sending a copy of your own work to yourself is sometimes called a poor man's copyright. There is no provision in the copyright law regarding any such type protection, and it is not a substitute for registration.
Wait, what about registration? I thought you didn't.
Do I have to register with your office to be protected? No. In general, registration is voluntary. Copyright exists from the moment the work is created. You will have to register, however, if you wish to bring a lawsuit for infringement of a U.S. work. It's basically just to get it on the record. So we will do it, but you are copyright. What you've done is copywritten, and you have witnesses. You have a bevy of witnesses who have read it, who have known about it.
I have email logs of sending it to my.
You have email logs.
So why are you manually using scissors to cut each page?
I'm cheap.
Oh, it's a good reason.
No, I Kinko's has like a press that they can cut paper. But I'm afraid of Kinko's right now. I went downtown to them, and they're so busy, and they want me to leave it, and I just didn't feel like it. Now I'm like, well, I just want to see what it would look like. Like, I just want to, I have never seen it put together.
Okay.
So I'm hand putting together one, and then I'll probably go to Kinko's to pay to
have it. Dory, I believe we have some paper cutters.
I'm just going to cut
paper.
Oh, yeah, while
we're here. Like the art teacher always had the guillotine.
I don't know if we have the
really
guillotine style, but we have a sliding one.
I have
one.
A guillotine at work. I'm just doing this to kill
time. We
have
a sliding one.
She's doing it because she was listening to you read off of the internet.
Okay, anything so I've got a question for you guys,
indeed.
For the dorks.
Go ahead.
Please.
As a burgeoning entrepreneur with my own published work to produce here for sale, I'm debating whether or not to submit it to a publisher to actually try to get it officially published in the traditional way.
Or
in this modern age of e-commerce, would it be feasible to move a product in any kind of meaningful way through internet sales without any storefront exposure whatsoever? Or, you know, maybe some local stuff. Like, I know a bookstore owner next door.
I have two comments, but we'll go ahead and let Irv, because he raised his hand.
Irv's hand is raised.
And I'm glad he's sure. That's all I got to say.
Yes, Irving?
My first suggestion would be that you could spend about $50 a month for an Amazon merchant account, and you could sell the product on Amazon. You create a page with, images, and you set the price and the shipping and all that. And you put a description so that people will find it when they search for it on the internet or on Amazon. And you take orders in Amazon. If you get a merchant account, your listing never expires, and Amazon will take a lot lower. I think they just take
commission.
The 99 cents or something per purchase and no like commission percentage. So basically they handle all the e-commerce, and you just get sent an email that says send one here.
Now, does anyone here know anybody that's ever done that?
I have done that.
I have not done that.
What were you
selling? I sold those putters that way.
How'd that work?
Well, it didn't work all that well. I only sold like one, but that's because he was asking too much for the putters, and nobody wanted the damn things.
Okay. So, what are your thoughts, Dork?
I think there's a couple of comments to make here. First, obviously, you need to build up, some kind of advertising momentum on this. You know, you've got to get it if you're going to sell it online, which I support Irv's comments about doing that via Yahoo or Amazon or any of the other major online retailers. But that also means that you actually have to create the production stream.
Right, like actually publish them.
Yeah.
And if I were to publish them through Kinko's or something, it would cost me about $9 or $10 to make one.
To make in what volume?
Well, if I was going to make 10 of them, that's like, it would cost me about $8 to make them. And if I was going to make 100 of them, I don't know what kind of deal. But Kinko's doesn't seem to me like the best production house for me to be using.
Well, on that side of things, I know several people from being in desktop publishing and printing and such like that, they have contacts with the printers locally.
You do?
I do.
I need to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Wow, this is going to be like our little, what is this called? Starting
brainstorming.
Yeah, well, you know, like the small companies that start really small and like they're called something, like they see
incubator.
Yeah, here we go.
We're incubating
the Pregor incubator. Oh, how
oh,
funny
that's
is
funny.
That? That's
it is
fabulous.
Funny. The Pregor
okay.
incubator.
Yeah.
Next time my friend Christine gets down here for dinner, I'll have to make sure you guys come along.
That would be great.
She's the one who has many more contacts even than I do. Anyway, regardless.
Groovy. So say I can get them published.
What's the average price for similar work?
I would say your average day-by-day calendar will sell for about $11.
Okay.
And for what I'm reading about publishing, if you were to publish like a paperback novel,
right?
Like a 150-page paper, you may make about $1 a unit if you are the author. And everything else
is publisher.
The publisher and then all their overhead and stuff.
Hey, I Googled... make your own pad because you know you're
right.
gonna make like a pad that didn't work out so good.
Okay.
Okay.
Because the very like the first 10 are like make your own reusable menstrual pads.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
Oh wow, well that's a whole nother
that's
topic.
Another product for Pregor another. Productions to handle.
Exactly.
Anyway, I mean these day-by-day calendars seem to sell
well the thing
sporadic
is I've got like market share in bookstores, but also in maternity stores. And it's amazing how much crap you buy. It's like weddings. It's like you'll buy so much shit when you're pregnant.
What's your, do you already have an established budget for what your initial production run would be and your initial advertising blast?
My advertising was going to consist of going to all the local maternity stores and bookstores that are not chains,
right,
and trying to get them
take some of your product,
idea, on the shelves as sideline items.
How many per store?
I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 per store, depending on their interest, maybe only one.
So realistically, your initial production run is going to be at least 100.
I would say so. And if I were to try to do this Amazon thing just to see, well, babycenter.com is another website that is a big clearinghouse for this kind of crap. But in this day and age, I mean, I've heard Tom Zubel of Zubel Books speak very much.
Zubelbooks.com.
Zubel. Yes, that could be
Z-U-B-A-L.
My wow.
We already have a YWOW.
Well, there's another one.
One that's not pornographic.
We know how much you love that.
Anyway, well, Tom is very much of the thought, mind thought, of the thinking that paperback books, like actual paper books, are on their way out, like just like paper newspapers, and everything's going to be on the internet now and all that stuff. And I have ideas for a website related to this concept, but, I mean, is there evidence out there? Is the dorks aware of evidence that these things are actually coming to fruition, that paper books are, like, in decline and people aren't buying those things anymore?
People buy more books than ever, especially with like because of Amazon and places like that. But people aren't necessarily buying old, you know, like antiquated scholastic or scholarly books, but they're buying, you know, I mean, I don't see any reduction in size of the book aisle at the grocery store. I mean, people are, I think it's actually been the internet, I think, has produced quite a renaissance in just reading in general.
It's possibly true. Still, I think the point rather for your product, though, is that does it translate to an electronic format?
Oh, it certainly does.
Well, you don't. When I asked that question, do you expect them to print it out and then put it together themselves, or?
Oh gosh, no.
What's your electronic format look like?
Electronic format would be. Well, I already have on these little day-by-day sheets for them, for the readers to email their own daily affirmations to the website, possibly the idea of doing a second edition, which would be input from the world at large because, you know, pregnancy experiences are varied.
So that sounds like community building around your website, which is a great idea, but that's not cash.
And what I found very helpful, though, like you look at wedding websites like theknot.com and you look at babycenter.com, which I followed religiously when I was pregnant, and they send you like automatic emails, and like they did that on a weekly basis, and of course they were much more educational and professional about the whole thing. This is much more unprofessional and not educational, just humorous, you know. But I think, I don't know that I'm interested in pursuing that like as a money making venture. I think it'd be more of like just augmenting a website to sell certain products.
So it's an advertising expense,
kind of. Yeah,
no, it is.
So
anything building community and getting the word out is
right.
Going to be an advertising expense.
So, but I see these daily type like emailing, like these automatic emailings being a way to do something similar to this, you know, electronically. I don't know how you would ever make money at emailing people daily affirmations, but.
Well, you don't. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's overhead. People do not pay to get email affirmations.
Right.
The only thing you're going to get from that is word of mouth advertising and building of a community, which is important, I think, in the internet, you know, enabled, you know, economy. One of the things that you should certainly consider is if you decide to do an initial production run yourself, set up a Google AdWords account and get it into the Google.
Okay,
AdSense routine.
A Google AdWords account. So like you get into the search engine.
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
It's usually they'll waive the start the setup fee for you.
Yeah.
And then it's you set a budget amount per month on click throughs. So if somebody sees one of your ads and they click through, it costs you a certain amount of money depending on the auction price for that keyword.
Oh my God, this is like a whole world I had no idea.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
There's an auction price for a keyword now?
Yeah.
When did that start?
Google and Google pretty much invented it, really. And it's something very scary and quite honestly subject to all kinds of abuse, which, because people, once there's an algorithm that determines what the bid price of a certain word is, then somebody will try to figure out how to get around the bid price. How do you lower the bid price? How do you, you know,
well, okay,
make it cheaper for yourself?
So, okay. So say like things like the word car, all right, has a bid price on Google, and all these car dealers pay a certain amount of money to be a certain number in the queue?
There is a review process, and overly generic words are generally not biddable.
Okay, Taurus.
If you search Taurus and click on an ad that comes up that Ford or a car dealership has paid for,
are you talking about the marginal ads or the actual output from the Google search?
The marginal ads.
Oh.
Or.
Because I don't need that. I mean, just to be a result in the Google search.
No, that's what I'm saying. You do need that.
To be a result in the Google search, you need the marginal ads.
Because what happens is most of those other related websites to your product, like maternity websites and, you know, calendar websites and stuff like that, will subscribe to Google's ads, and your ad will enter their rotation on their webpage. So when people go to maternity.com and see Prager Productions ad and click on it, A, it costs you a little bit money. B, they land on your page and hopefully buy a product.
That is so interesting. So, like, that sounds really expensive.
That's why I said they don't charge you for it, like, monthly or anything like that.
They charge it on the click-throughs.
They charge per click-through. If nobody clicks through on your ads, then you don't pay a cent. If 100 people click through on your ads and none of them buy your product, you pay for 100 clicks.
How much would a click cost, do you think?
It depends on the word. And that's why I said it's an auction-based system, so you'd actually have to go in, use the Google tools, and figure out about how much it's going to cost you to do this.
Ooh, that's interesting.
But you can set a budget, and that way you never go above that. But what happens when you hit your budget is that they stop your ad from rotating.
Gotcha.
Right. Right.
Wow, you know a lot about this. I need to, like, sit down and talk with you, maybe off the air, so we don't bore people to death.
I mean, it's interesting. To me, this is the show is information. About. I mean, you know, people thinking about doing this stuff should know these things.
Yeah, I mean, we are supposed to be living now in a small business economy, an entrepreneurial economy. And I tell you what, from watching Comm Group develop and...
Thank you, Irv, for developing Comm Group.
Yeah. I have to say, it's certainly nice to work for yourself. I think that's certainly the way to go.
So you can laze around all day.
No, he works his ass off. But I mean,
I'm poking him in the ribs.
Yeah,
Fuck you, man.
Because it's fun.
So we should all be aspiring to starting our own business, right? The global economy. I'm on this weird kick these days about how the trade deficit is such a bad thing and how Americans really need to be producing stuff. So I've produced something.
And hopefully it will be consumed worldwide. And in fact, the...
Worldwide pants.
Right, worldwide pants.
By the way, can I just say that you can get a machine, a freestanding machine or a tabletop or desktop machine called a padding press, which you basically... First you get what's called a paper jogger. And the paper jogger gets all the pages nice and...
Square
and the, you know,
and
all,
neat.
And neat, and all the sides are, you know, together, right. And then you put it in the padding press, and it basically holds it down, and you apply the glue to one of the ends, and then you sit there and wait for the glue to dry, and then there you have a pad.
Right.
How much does that cost, that machine?
Well, the machine is as little as, let's see if I can...
The low price of $40,000.
Shut your pie...
Bill.
I would say that the price here will be, you know, interesting information, but the comparison
and
for having a print shop do it for you is probably...
Oh, I would love a print shop to do it for me.
Right. So the next couple of things that I wanted to say is, you know, have you designed your packaging materials? Day-by-day planners come in boxes usually, right?
With
the funny little plastic doohickey.
Here's the problem. What we're getting into is a situation where you're going to have to create the pad. You're going to have to mount it to a calendar back that can stand on the desk.
The little funny plastic thing.
The little leg that pops out like...
Yep.
Wait a second. No, that's not exactly the way I envision this, actually.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Say what, motherfucker? What?
Rather than the plastic cheap-looking thing, I wanted to do like a cardboard... You know, like those cardboard double, like a album looking thing, and then you flip it open and it stands up like an A-frame, like it actually holds itself up.
Wire bound.
Yeah, yeah. With a spiral wire band.
Oh, you flip.
I want something a little bit more classy.
You know what would be cool?
I mean, wire binding would be easier to do.
No. Here's an idea how to make it look a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
Material will be, the thing that makes it. So not
board.
Cheap cardboard, but
right,
nice
the board
thick
stuff yeah.
with good art on it. And what you do is put a set of ribbons on one end and a snap on the other end so that when you open it up into a triangle,
mm-hmm.
the ribbon would prevent the triangle from collapsing on
yeah,
itself and it would stand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you do have to come up with something like that so it doesn't...
Right.
But, I mean, I think you could...
It would be nice if it could close itself up like a little book and it'd be latched and like Velcro closed and it's its own packaging. Like, I don't necessarily want to throw away boxes. I don't want to contribute to landfill debris.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other message.
Up.
That's perfect. That's marketing.
Let me just say one thing. 100%
recycled materials.
If you did this in a hard... Well, I'm worried, Dory, that 280 or wherever, however many entries it is going to be about that thick.
Well, we'll see in a second.
It is going to be thick.
And,
it is going to be thick.
You know, or about that thick.
It's going to be,
it's going to be like four times as thick as that stack.
Right. It's going to be about an
inch
thick.
Unless this is double.
This is not double-sided.
Okay. Here's the other thing. But if you did it with two nice cardboard, a back and a front,
mm-hmm.
and it's ring-bound, then you might just be able to shrink-wrap the thing
That's
and throw that in
yeah,
a box.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have to get not a box like a decorative or a advertising box
right.
or whatever. Just shrink
no,
wrap
I
it.
I should show you.
Throw it in a box with some styrofoam and send it away.
The packaging that comes with some of these trendier things, like at the bookstore, we have an alternative bookstore two doors down, and they've got journals and little things.
It's crawling on my leg. It was
oh,
you.
Sorry, it was me. It's a little. It's the box itself is the outer cover,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't need
mm-hmm.
its own box. It doesn't need shrink wrapping. It's like actually something that's just sort of self-contained.
I'm trying to think of a really clever way to get the thing to stand like you're talking about
mm-hmm.
instead of fucking around with ribbons and snaps and all that stuff that could just be like really really irritating manual labor.
No, I mean you could very easily, as long as the cardboard piece had a punch down on it where a flap folded out and then slot, tab A fit into slot B and it would stand, as a
We
triangle.
Still have to custom order these.
Anyway,
these
the point
pieces.
Is that it sounds as though a paying for an initial production run is probably the best route for you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other comment to say is that when you go looking for publishers, see if it's part of the deal that you can't publish it yourself because you might be able to just do both.
Well, yeah, because, having read about the publishing industry, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was reading about getting your first novel published.
Yeah.
What a racket. But, it's just this club of people in New York City. They're a bunch of women that all went to East Coast schools and
mm-hmm.
they hop around jobs like every 2 years. They're always changing from agency to publisher. And it's sort of like, well, my kid goes to daycare with this kid and I found out of this great book and like that's kind of how you get your shit published.
Right.
And it's just very clicky and very weird and I don't know that I would be able to even get to the right person to even get read, and I don't know what the advantage is, I guess, in the end. Of going, the advertising, that's why I was going with that. They don't necessarily advertise every book, and they don't necessarily advertise,
right.
I don't know if they even advertise calendars at all. So, I don't know, what would happen. I agree with you. I think I would want to check to make sure I could self-publish.
Do both, right. Certainly, starting up your website, getting some online advertising, doing an initial production run are all very, straightforward things that you could do. The things that I think that you'll find interesting to do then is to take part of that initial production run, take it around to the stores where you think they'd be interested in selling it, and I'd include bookstores, maternity stores, Spencer's, stores, card stores. American Greetings is a local.
That's true. American Greetings is
company.
Local. The thing that I'm worried about with like a Spencer's or any kind of national chain is that the Yahoo's working at the store.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily have any purchasing site.
Right, but they all have a 800 number or something you can call and get the right person. It might take you being nice to some administrative person, but eventually you'll get into somebody.
That's true. See, I should hire you as my sales manager.
You don't need to pay me for this.
So I guess the verdict from the dorks is self-publishing is feasible? More feasible than ever? You think?
Very, very feasible.
Very, very
opinion.
Feasible. Very much, I think, a pain in the ass. I think it would be much more of an illuminating experience to try to actually get it published. Because, Dory, then you'd learn an awful lot about the process. And if you didn't, if you weren't successful this time around, you'd have a much better chance the next time around. You know, people have submitted their products to, you know, producer A, then producer B, then producer... I mean, people have shopped around... I mean, like, you read about all kinds of things about movies that took forever to get made.
Well, sure,
you know,
but I mean, like,
studio
okay.
after studio after studio.
Think about it this way. If I came pocket... If I'm selling these things, say, for, like, $12 a pop, and production cost to me is, what, $5? I mean, I could make a lot more money selling them myself. Obviously, I would have to devote a lot more personal energy, though. And since I still have a day job, that might be a problem.
Are you back to full... Full, you're at work 100%.
No, I work part-time.
Part-time? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is as long as you're just making phone calls and having to do stuff, you know, where you're able to kind of divide your time, I think that that's...
I think it would be an interesting lab experiment to, like, do 6 months of mm-hmm. trying to self-publish and sure. just see what happens with this Google. I cannot believe they auction off keywords. That's crazy. They didn't do that in the beginning, did they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is... Really? As soon as they released Google AdWords, this is how it... This is how it goes. Initially, no, they didn't do advertising. Advertising was an add-on to the search engine.
I gotcha. So, but explain to me. So, like, the ads, it sounds like a whole different world from, like, just the search engine.
It is.
So now, I've heard, though, that if you wanted to come up sooner in a Google search than someone else,
mm-hmm.
you can pay money?
No.
Is that wrong?
Not necessarily true.
You can pay money to a search engine optimization specialist who will use every trick available
of the trade, right.
to try to reach the top of the... There's all kinds of things you can do. There, you have to have cross-links. You have to have other sites that link to your site because the Google engine considers that to be... That makes your site like an authoritative source on
right.
something.
Remember we talked about the algorithm that Google uses to do it?
Right.
People have figured out how to tweak
okay.
it.
So there's
and
that.
Google tries to figure out how to plug the tweaks.
You have to constantly change your web page.
Yep. Update
so
frequency is very important.
Update frequency is big. You have to. There are things you can do, such as build basically like ASP pages or something like that, that dynamically generate like a site map of all your products, and then the Google spider will and it just creates these links. And it'll just follow each one all the way to each one to its bitter end and start cataloging your keywords, you know.
What'd you call it, the Google spider?
Yeah, a crawler?
Spider is valid, too. Yeah, a spider is not just a Google spider. A spider is just a generic term for a program that crawls around the internet looking for web pages. They yeah. call it a spider because the internet's a web and the spider crawls around it.
Ah, it's so clever.
Okay, now I'm here at... I'm here at calendars.com, and
okay.
I'm looking at desktop calendars, and I'm noticing that there is another publisher called Andrews McNeil.
I've heard of them.
So, you know, there's Calendar Systems USA. There's Mead.
I certainly did not exhaust all the publishers. I narrowed down one, Workman Publishing, because they do What to Expect When You're Expecting and the day-by-day calendars. They pioneered them.
Gladstone Media, John F. Turner, Crown Publishing, Brown Trout. There's a lot of these publishers. So, I mean, I think trying to get it published, but, you know, you might find that Workman is like, oh, well, we already do some pregnancy calendars. We're all set there. But someone else might be like, hey, we're looking to compete with the What to Expect.
No,
when
yeah, I've considered that. That's an interesting angle.
Have you? I'm just kidding.
You're
and
fine.
Of course, the other angle that, you know, us dorks are generally not too good at because we're not truly people person. But, you know, reach out to these publisher people, try to find somebody nice, and, you know, without giving away your corporate secrets, you know, build some relationships with these people, network a little bit, you know?
Well, there is a conference coming to Cleveland State, which is a writer's conference. They do it every year in July. I probably should go to that with one of my prototypes. Although I think you have to pay admission, and I got to get registered and all that crap.
Business expense.
Yeah, I'm not incorporated quite yet. I mean, I list myself. Prager Productions is the name of my company.
All you have to do is file Schedule C as basically Doreen M. Pulley Katz Incorporated. You're every individual is an incorporation, I think. by default.
Can I be AKA Pregor Productions?
Because you could just
the state has to do a search on the
you
name.
You would have to actually create your company legally, which I could help you do in the state of Ohio. It's like $125. We did it for
Com Group,
which is actually technically Katz Overton Miller and Menar Group LLC.
Right.
Because Com Group, somewhere in Ohio, it was had COM Group, and they decided that it's too close.
Right.
And so they didn't grant me the LLC, and so I contacted them, and they never wrote back. And I'm like, fucking
one asshole. Of the things you can do to jumpstart that is to buy the domain.
We already did.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
We've got www.pregor.com.
So the only pregnancy...
Just Pregor.
You should get both.
The only pregnancy calendar in here is called My Pregnancy Perpetual Calendar, and it's stapled. It's 42 weeks, and but it's like all cutesy pie.
Yeah, mine's not so cute.
No, not so cute. Not when you talk about how your fertilized egg is a whore or something.
I don't say that. You're ruining all my stuff.
Okay, sorry.
I say your egg is being gang banged.
Yeah.
Well, it does.
So I don't know where I came out with a...
Your egg is a whore.
I don't know where I came up with that shit. But anywho.
Okay, well, this is very interesting. But you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing this.
You know, not only that, but I'm thinking like places like Spencer Gifts and stuff like that. I
don't
know.
Dork Almighty, I believe, already mentioned.
Did you mention Spencer? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was over here looking for shit. We got to get to Tim Wurzel's question.
Yes, we do.
This is the bare metal question.
But what was the wow she had? What did she say?
The Zubal Books.
Oh, Zubal Books. I think it's Zubal.com. Zubal.
I believe you're correct.
I will confirm. Right now. The other one is 4chan.org.
You know, the other thing to do here, if Irv, you know.
Zubalbooks.com. Z-U-B-A-L.
Get her connected with the young entrepreneurs in Cleveland. The Gorilla Group.
I've already made acquaintance with the Gorilla Group.
Okay.
You haven't been to a meeting.
That's true. I haven't been to a meeting.
You could go to a meeting because there are people there who are published, I'm quite certain.
Yeah.
Really?
Probably.
If you don't know Gary Bainey, then...
Well, you know, I don't know what's... I don't know if Gary's even involved with that right now.
He's busy doing his other stuff, but he still helps people
out.
But
he and Don, you know...
Yeah.
He and Don Larson had a...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know if I can characterize it as a falling out or not, but Don's no longer with... With Boundless Flight.
Right.
And...
Still.
I don't know if they're working together on Gorilla Group or not. I haven't been in a long
people,
time.
Well, you know, their resources.
I hope they're still friends because they've, you know, been working. They worked together for so long.
Right.
Stop gossiping.
I didn't ask Don about it. But anyway, Tim Wurzel says, I'm wondering what your top 10. Oh, wait. Bad metal! Okay. I'm wondering what your top 10 games list of all time are.
Irv, you should take that
COD piece off.
Sorry. I got to take my COD piece and spandex trousers.
You should have seen him in the air guitar contest. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was doing, I don't know if you noticed, but I was doing the Eddie Van Halen, the hammering technique there.
Very impressive.
Wild Stallions rule! Well, fuck that. That was awful. I'm wondering what your... was I the only kid in my school to think that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was a shitty movie?
No, I thought the boys were
too cute. But you know, Alex Winter... had a very funny TV show.
Who did?
Called Idiot Box on MTV for like a season. It was great.
I don't remember that.
All right. Dorks, all right. I'm wondering what your top 10 games list of all time, and I'm assuming he means video games. He doesn't say video games. He says games, and I suppose my number one would be Scrabble because I love Scrabble, but we'll go ahead and say video games.
Dude, you're weird.
Irv likes to dominate in Scrabble.
I like Scrabble, and I love Balderdash. I think Balderdash might be the most fun game I've ever played.
I enjoy Scrabble as well, but not...
But I'm such a dominator in Scrabble. I mean, don't put me up against somebody.
I've beaten Irv in Scrabble many times.
Well, that's because you're a dominatrix.
Ooh, baby.
I think to say that she's beaten me many times is...
More than two is many.
No, that's a few. I've beaten him a few times. I've beaten you like a rented mule, like a redheaded stepchild... like 20 times. Okay.
Easy there.
Okay. I violated you every which way in a Scrabble milieu.
Yeah, I'm still getting stuck on my ass. Somewhere.
I single-handedly DP'd you in a Scrabble milieu. That's right. double.
Dude, you're sleeping on the couch tonight. I can see it already.
Hey, it's by choice, pal. All
right. The couch is closer to the AC. I know. Yeah,
no, we have AC in our bedroom. I'm not sleeping on no couch.
How can you single-handedly DP someone?
In a Scrabble milieu, you can.
What, with the Scrabble tile holder?
With two tile holders.
Bees.
All right.
You're talking about triple word score.
Triple word score.
Where's the cue?
Okay. I'm hoarding all the U's. All right. Well, he says number 10, Aerobiz. Or Aerobiz. Aerobiz Supersonic. Never heard of it.
I never heard of that one.
9, Wing Commander 4.
Great game.
8, Halo.
Never played it.
7, God of War.
Great game.
6, Sam and Max Hit the Road.
I hear that was pretty cool.
5, World of Warcraft.
Addictive.
4, Half-Life 2.
Very addictive.
3, Final Fantasy 7.
Maybe.
2, Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Great game.
1, Half-Life.
Another great game.
Okay, well, I wouldn't agree with any of those.
I didn't
because I haven't played them.
Exactly.
Where are the Summer Olympic Games?
Well, Summer Olympics was so epics. Like Epic Summer Games. Yeah. Epic Summer Games on Commodore 64 was so much goddamn fun. Winter Games was great,
the
too.
The diving competition was my personal
diving
favorite.
Was great.
See, now those ski were the
jump,
original.
Ski Jump and Hot Dog were awesome on Winter Games.
Yeah. Those were the original button mashers.
Well, I mean, no, Track and Field in the arcade was the original button masher that I can think of.
Yeah, that you can, yeah, where you get alternate buttons to run.
People would come in with using combs or rulers to
lever it.
To lever it, and they put up these insane scores of like 8.5 seconds on the 100 meter dash or whatever it was.
Faster than that.
Something crazy. Ridiculous.
Isn't the world record like 4 some seconds? Right,
now here's something
meter
for
dash.
You. Here's something for you. I was in Ocean City, Maryland when I was
the
about
world 9.79,
I think. 9.76
for what
is the 100 meter dash record? It's like 9.76, I think.
You should Google that.
Okay.
Or Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Yeah. I think.
Is this video game score or actual people?
Actual people. I know that Ben Johnson, was that his name? Ben Johnson ran I believe a 9.79. Wow. But he was on steroids.
In the 100 meter dash?
And that was years ago.
Yeah, it's got to be lower than that.
The best race ever run?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Was Michael Johnson's 200 meter dash in what? 1932.
That's awesome.
Think about that shit.
I'm thinking about that.
The current
shit.
Record is 9.77, held by Asafa Powell of Jamaica and Justin Gatlin of the United States. Flojo has a 10.49.
Flojo rocks.
That was in 1988.
What did Carl Lewis run it in? Didn't he?
I mean, he's run it in under 10 seconds many times, but I don't know if we have the. Here we go. Top 12 all time. You have nine.
All right, wait a minute. We've devolved completely here.
Carl Lewis ran a 9.86 in 1991. And there's been 8.5, 8.4, 9.79, 9.77.
And we digress.
And we digress. Anyway, so.
Best
top,
game.
I think top video game.
Oh, wait. But let me just
Frogger.
Say this. I was in Ocean City. I was about like 13 or 14 years old. I had known this girl, Meg Usher, since I was a little
Way
baby.
Way to set the scene.
Okay, I've known her since she was a little baby, and I didn't
and
know.
And now she's got boobies.
I didn't know. She developed some nice boobies. But she.
This is how I know he remembers.
This is a situation where you learn something about somebody you didn't know. You know, you think you know somebody really well. We
she
all went to Ocean City together, okay, and we were staying at her family's place, and we got together for pizza and mini golf. And we go into the arcade, and she's like, oh, cool, Q-Bert, I'm really good at that. And I'm like, whatever, girl. She proceeded to play on one quarter until she basically turned to me and said, I don't feel like playing anymore.
Wow.
And just walked away.
That's awesome.
We're talking over an hour.
Irv has never gotten over her.
That's great.
A small tear is sliding down his cheek right now. People in the audience. She played Q-Bert like the wind.
Aww.
She plays Q-Bert in my dreams. Okay, first of all, I got to say that in my top 10 list, I got to put Civilization.
Which one?
Two.
Okay.
Civilization Two. I got to put one of my absolute favorites was a Commodore 64 game from Sid Meier called Pirates of the Caribbean. No, not Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates.
It was Pirates.
Pirates.
Yeah, great
Pirates
game.
Of the Caribbean. Pirates.
Yep.
I loved
Which that they're game. Releasing a massively multiplayer online game called Pirates.
Awesome.
It's supposed to be interesting anyway.
That's great.
Anyway, continuing.
I'm going to go with Archon. I'm going to go with Mule. I'm going to go with Super Mario Brothers.
Great classic game.
Okay.
So far, none of them are from the arcade.
I also really enjoyed. There was some like super like Yoshi's Adventure or something like that that I really enjoyed, but I don't know if it's in my top 10.
Okay.
That's a very interesting point. I used to love Ivan Stewart's Off-Road.
It was great.
What a great game. What a great game. And I actually, even though I was never any good at Tempest, I always thought Tempest was one of the most just awesome frickin' games. Just so cool the way the vector graphics, the way the board would fly at you out from the center of the screen, and you would just like, as soon as it was there, in fact, it was that already was going.
That's right.
Before it got there.
Yeah.
So you better be on your fucking toes. What a great game. I used to love Gyrus.
Isn't that was about the same thing, wasn't it?
Was it was kind of like, it was more like, a little bit like Galaga. It had Gyrus like a challenging stage, and some vector graphics. It was like Galaga in a circle, and you could fly all the way around the
yes,
outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you
know
what? I'm not going to say Gyrus. I'm going to say Gorf. I loved Gorf.
All right,
because
all right.
Gorf combined like five or six different skill
yep.
sets,
yep.
including a blatant ripoff of Galaxian. I mean,
oh,
it was
absolutely.
Totally a ripoff of Galaxian. Yeah. But see, I'm really, really dating myself here.
Well, you don't play modern games. I mean,
when's realistically the last time you played Pitfall or Demon Attack by iMagic?
Civilization's the last game he was really into.
Yeah,
Civilization so was. I liked. I enjoyed a Ragnarok.
I don't even remember that game.
Ragnarok, and there was another one called
Really Grandpa.
What? That was a PC game. It was a little role playing. Oh, my God. What am I talking about? Wizardry.
Oh,
Proving
there
Grounds
you
of the
go.
Mad Overlord.
There you go.
I believe, the first person perspective game.
Mmm. Mmm. What year?
Early.
I know
We're
it was
talking
early.
Apple II.
Yeah.
We are talking...
Holy shit, people. We are talking Apple II.
Yeah.
Look, what I'm saying is...
No, I agree. I agree. Go ahead. Keep going.
I mean, it was before Castle Wolfenstein.
Well, yeah, I know that. Before. Yeah, I know that.
Here it is. Wizardry is a series of computer role-playing games developed
by Surtek.
Don't read
the page. Just find the piece of information we want to know.
Fine. Proving Grounds of the Mad Overlord, 1981.
Yeah, that's... Wow, dude. That
You're
is
old.
Hella
old.
Hella early.
Yeah. So you got one more left.
All right.
And that's it.
Well, I have to throw out a couple more just for kicks.
Well, this there is were a no. This
there
is top 10.
Apple
You've
game.
Already thrown out a bunch of couple more.
I know. I'm not sure. I'm just. This is hard. Okay.
We're brainstorming.
Look. Early Apple, early Macintosh game called Fool's Errand.
Don't remember it.
Early Apple II game. If you can find it, if you can find an Apple II emulator, which I know they're out there. There's at least two or three out there.
Yeah.
If you can find a game called Laser Maze. Lazer.
I seem to recall seeing that.
It's a game. It's so simple. It's a grid, 10x10 grid, and the board inside of the grid, okay, is made up of slashes. It's either forward slash or backslash, and basically somebody comes in on one point on the grid and it shoots a laser,
uh-huh.
and you have to you have to in your mind. Work
the
find
mirrors.
The laser's path as it
mind
bounces off.
Bullets.
You have to figure out where is it going to come out
mm-hmm.
of the grid. It is so fun.
There's a similar game available via a website. I don't remember what, but it's based on similar properties.
Okay, Dork Almighty.
Yars Revenge. Yars fucking Revenge.
Nah.
Oh my.
Eh. Eh.
Phoenix.
Eh. Well, you really liked those guys. Did you like Defender?
I couldn't fucking play Defender to save my life. Too many buttons. Too many fucking buttons.
All right. I mean,
Defender came after a game like, I think, Vanguard. which was a side-scrolling ship game.
Yeah, I don't remember the timeline.
There was another one called, like, started with an S, and you basically, the whole thing wasn't so much shooting and picking up people as they're falling and stuff, but just navigating a maze as it's moving.
Right.
So you're, like, moving, and you have to, like, when you want to go straight down a shaft, you have to kind of...
angle it.
Yeah, angle it, you know, and everything, yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well,
how about you, Dork Almighty?
Did you play games?
Did I?
Yeah, you.
I did when I was younger. Okay. I was quite the demon at Frogger.
All right. So you're a console gamer?
Yeah.
Arcade at all? No?
Not really.
We didn't see many girls in the arcades in the early days.
No, not a lot of our arcade stuff. Pole Position was good. Frogger was good. I liked Mario Brothers. My brother got the Nintendo. I did a little bit of Mario Brothers. That's pretty much where my gaming days ended.
All right.
Although I did play Wheel of Fortune on a giant floppy disk the size of my head.
Nice.
On my friend's computer.
Gotta love it.
Vanna White was awesome in that.
Wizardry introduced the first-person perspective to games.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
I thought that was the case.
And our gaming historian,
and it also established the command-driven battle system.
Oh,
emulated
right.
in such games as Bard's Tale and Final Fantasy.
Right. Well, as the
it was the template for all RPG games to come. Although I did enjoy Ultima.
Yeah,
Ultima was
a little bit
somewhere between Wizardry and Ultima is like a lot like World of Warcraft. I mean, Ultima had that top, you know, that,
yeah,
that
but,
like eagle eye view of everything.
Yeah, but maybe from, well, I can't even say that. No, I disagree. I mean, anything massively multiplayer is just not like those.
No. I don't mean massively. I mean, like, the gameplay, the way, like, the perspective, you know, like, you know, no. Fuck
yeah,
you.
No.
Okay, I want Dork Almighty's input.
All right, yeah, let's hear it.
I have to admit that most of the games that you said were awesome, admirable games. I certainly go way back to the early days of that. But I guess the games that sucked up my quarters in time and all time favorites. I'm going to try to narrow this down. Gauntlet probably sucked more quarters out of me.
I fucking forgot Gauntlet.
At
Warrior.
I could really not afford
badly.
Them. And the damn green elf shot the food all the damn time.
Oh, you fucking jerk off.
But that game was, that one was certainly one of the major time sinks back in early high school days.
Quarter sinks.
At the arcade. The other games at the arcade, Robotron. I think it was the first.
Robotron was so cool because you didn't have a button to fire.
Right. I think it was like the first game that required you to use two joysticks to manipulate the game system.
Yeah.
Other than those silly games where you like climbed the outside of buildings and you had to alternate the joysticks to make the guy go up along the windows and stuff like that and whatever. Anyway, Robotron was one of my favorites. A game called Outrun, one of the early car simulators.
Outrun, sure.
Yep, which is a great game.
Absolutely.
What else did I play in the arcade? I really enjoyed playing the classics like Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, and those kind of things. All great games and all able to be found on emulator nowadays. Yeah.
I have to say that the Frogger in the arcade was no comparison to the keypad Frogger on the Atari 2 or whatever. We could actually use the keypad instead of the joystick.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the human interface kind of changed a little bit there. I love those sound clips. Those are great. That's a blast of the pack.
Crazy Climber.
Yeah, Crazy Climber was one of the games where you had to use two joysticks, but I think Robotron came out before that did.
Oh, you're right. I think it was.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. As far as early PC gaming, one of my favorites on the Apple II, I think it was Apple IIe, was Pool of Radiance.
Right.
One of the very early.
Did you like Myst?
I never did like Myst.
What about Zork?
I liked Zork. Yeah, there you go.
That's Qbert.
Yeah. So Pool of Radiance on the Apple IIe was great. I also liked Civ 2. I, to this day, play the Civilization series. Civ 4 is a great game. also on the Apple II, the text-based adventure games. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was great. Planetfall was great. I mean, all this kind of stuff. Just some great stuff out there. And then consoles, we had an Atari, we had a Nintendo, my buddy had a Sega.
What about Jumpman?
There's a ton of games out there.
Remember Jumpman? Tecmo Bowl?
I remember Tecmo Bowl. I liked
not
it,
Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl. I'm sorry.
Tecmo Bowl sounds like a phone company.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, Tecmo Bowl, where you played cybernetic football players.
I think that there in Tecmo Bowl, there were a couple of plays that always worked.
Well, if you could get the titanium upgraded wide receiver, you're pretty much money as long as you could give him the ball.
Okay.
Anyway.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Go ahead.
Mattel handheld football. With little LED red.
What was
the little LED red thing?
It was like, what was it? The quarterback was the name of it? Because I played that. In fact, one of my teachers in school played it. And
you blew him away.
Huh?
You kicked his ass.
I did kick his ass. Which reminds me, I totally loved Tetris.
Tetris, absolutely.
Say, if you want to mind,
absolutely
suck.
Tetris.
Yeah. Tetris was
great. Tetris has got to be on the top 10 list.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially competitive mode when they brought that out. Oh, it was great to just school people.
Mattel Football 1.
Yeah,
look at these pictures.
Oh, yeah, it's the red LED.
It had S, T, S, C, and K.
Yep.
The left and right. And up and down. Yeah. I was so fucking good. You didn't have to go. I mean, you had to go like the length of the field like 5 times to get a touchdown.
Oh yeah.
You like wrap around and wrap come around. On the other end.
Exactly.
But the defenders never moved.
Right.
So if you set it up just right, you maybe might go along the bottom 3 or 4 screens worth before the defenders even knew what the fuck was going on.
Exactly. It was great. Great game.
They released a tiny version of it on a keychain in 2001.
Yep. So I'll give a plug to some of the modern games because there's some stuff out there that you know people should have a look at. The anything by id Software.
Oh, and the football
really
too had a passing ability.
Yep, I remember that too. Okay, anything by John Carmack and id Software has been an experience to be a part of. The original Doom was great to play. And the other work that they've done has just been really, really good stuff. I enjoyed Doom 3. Play System Shock 2. Oh my god,
System
one of the
Shock
first
2?
Horror genre, you know, PC games that actually got it right. It was great. Totally scary, and they're doing a project now called BioShock, which is by the same guy, looking to be like it's going to be a great game as well. I might share some of that. Tonight's show brought to you by Jacob's Creek Chardonnay.
It's Aussie, damn it.
It's Aussie, damn it. Anyway, as far as massively multiplayer games go, man, Guild Wars. Great, easy to jump into, Guild Wars.
Oh, Guild
Wars. Easy to jump into, easy to jump out. Great interface and mechanics, good stuff. Tim Wurzel's Half-Life 2 references, those are awesome games. Do you remember Populous?
I do, but I didn't like it as much as like Civilization or something like that.
I got a question for the dorks.
Shoot.
I hear on the radio sometimes advertisement for college programs for computer geeks who want to design their own video games and for their career.
There are actually colleges now that do degrees in video game.
In video gaming technology or development or something.
Uh-huh.
Is this a promising field in your opinion?
Promising, yes. In fact, I think this year I saw on CNN, of all places, that the video game industry is about to outstrip a portion of the movie industry for the very first time.
Wow.
In terms of content that's being looked at. It's huge
business.
Here's
something to consider also that I think that games like game consoles like the Wii.
Yep.
Are revolutionizing the whole gaming thing. Gaming consoles like the Wii and games like that Dance Dance Revolution and stuff like that are completely changing the...
Oh, my God. Dance Dance Revolution. I played it at my sister's house with my niece.
Yeah.
I consider myself not a bad dancer. I could only do, like, not even the beginner, like the retarded beginner level. I mean, like, we tried just for a lark to put on the advanced just for a minute, and I think we almost had seizures. It was ridiculous. I want to see the person in real life can do the advanced.
Oh, my God.
Wait.
If you ever get a chance to see someone who's good, it's the most amazing thing you'll ever see, and they start to incorporate moves and, like, leg swings and all kinds of, like, expressive things and still do the game and kick people's asses.
Yep.
Still keep their feet on the pad because, my God.
Dory, if you ever want to take a ride with me one night, let's go out on a date soon when your mom comes, if we get a chance. Let's go out on a date and let's go to the Cinemark, dollar movie theater in Willoughby Hills or whatever. And I'm almost positive they have a Dance Dance Revolution there, and there's always kids there all night long playing it all night long. And we can go see a movie if we want, but we'll go there a little early and see if the game is there, and we can just sit there and watch. These kids are fucking incredible. I sat there and watched for half an hour. I was enthralled.
You're dumbfounded, yeah. I mean, if you're there on the right night at Dave and Buster's, you see the same thing. And really? some of these kids, guys and girls, are phenomenal. The best people I ever saw was in San Francisco at the Sony Entertainment Center, and they have this huge, like, Sony-sponsored arcade. There was a line of, like, 10 to 20 people waiting to play DDR, and they were doing competition mode. So these dudes are walking in like, club clothes and just pow, you know,
but
nailing
now,
it.
Here's
it was hysterical.
My point, and that's phenomenal, but and here's my
you
point.
You would have to practice for hours hours with one of those things.
Here's my point. The Wii, Dance Dance Revolution, stuff like that.
Guitar Hero.
Is real, honest-to-goodness exercise.
No, we did it for our workout at my sister's.
Video games are not just going to be the thing you sit around and pork up to. They're going to be stuff you have to do, and the next super awesome World of Warcraft, you know, thing, I think, is going to be some kind of fucking game on the Wii or something like that where you have to, like, swing the actual freaking sword and cast the actual spell and do, I don't know.
They're doing that in the next Harry Potter game where you've got,
you got a wand. That's right, the Wii controller is your wand. You have to do the wand right.
It's going to crack me up when we hit the day when computer and gaming geeks are, like, these ripped, in shape people.
Tournaments for Madden football where people are playing each other in Madden football and a crowd of like 1,000 people is watching on huge TVs.
Some of the
and there's like prize money and all kinds of shit.
I'm not talking about them having like that kind of I'm just being like being physically fit. Like was funnier than that South Park to me when they were all playing World of Warcraft trying to kill that guy.
Yep.
And they all got enormous.
And they got enormous, you know, and I've seen those people.
Dude, when Cartman takes a shit is one of the funniest scenes.
Oh my God.
And his mom holds the bucket. Oh my God.
I just want to say that right there is a dedicated mom. I mean, come on.
She's an idiot.
Anyway, you can go out and look, and there's many people who have lost a lot of weight just being active during, you know, playing video games and stuff. So I agree with you totally on that. But yeah, I mean, some of the groundbreaking stuff they've done has just been phenomenal.
I have to tell you, I was in the shower the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, my dick is huge. But when I got done thinking that, or dreaming that, I thought that the movie The Matrix, is, that's going to happen. Not in that exact sense, like that we're powering the world or something with our bio whatever.
No, but when we jack in. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, the internet is just the little baby steps of, you know, because you've got Second Life and World of Warcraft and all this stuff that people are spending their lives crafting their online personas, MySpace, all that stuff. I mean, they are spending enormous amounts of time perfecting their online personas and being whoever they want to be. There's no limitations. It's just amazing, and it's just the baby steps towards us really just being like, you know, one gigantic connected race of people.
All right, I'm gonna do a small PSA here and actually recommend a series of books to some people who may be listening to us. If you have not read, and I would expect that a lot of dorks already have read this, but if you have not read Tad Williams's Otherland series of books, the concepts that he explores there in terms of a connected global community with incredible internet, you know, functionality, 3D worlds, jacking in, technology. Awesome, awesome books. So there. Go read. stop staring at the TV or the computer monitor.
Well, it all reminds me of this science fiction story we did in, like, junior high or something. And I think it's not Metropolis, but it's, like, the same era, I think, from, like, the 30s, where it was just this science fiction conceptualization of the future where we're all just these giant slugs that, like, are stuck in these chairs. We have no muscle, like, mass anymore. We can't even breathe normal air anymore. And all we do is sit around and communicate our ideas. And that, cool. That's currency. And but unfortunately, like, there's this whole, like, I think the plot of this short story is to escape, and no one can breathe the outside air, and no one can walk anymore, and everyone's just like these gelatinous blobs that phone each other up whenever they have an idea. Like, I have a new idea today. That's what they do. That's all they do all day long.
Well, if you think about it, when we're ultimately totally connected, and you bring the statement about, you know, there hasn't been an original idea in years, you wonder when everybody's really connected that those original ideas will be even more rare.
Yeah, no kidding. And what is when we're finally totally connected? It seems like a destination. Like, what the fuck does that mean? When we're all, does that mean like you have no privacy anymore and like everybody's like there with you in the bathroom? Or like what do you mean totally connected?
Man, I don't know about you guys, but telepathy would scare the crap out of me.
What, people knowing your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because no one wants to know each other's thoughts, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
I don't think anyone really wants to know that.
We have these filters inside ourselves that
you
know, are set at certain levels for different sets of people. You know, your friends, the filter's pretty low, and we all know each other, and, you know, your coworkers are a little bit higher, and strangers are, you know, higher than that. But down at the bottom,
You really don't want people in with your id. I mean, like, so, but this destination of totally connected, I mean, it seems like you know what you mean when you say that, but do you know what you mean when you say that?
Hey, Irv, are we still recording?
I don't know.
I don't think we see anything. Yeah, there's no blips happening.
Oh, no, we're still, playing with the windows.
There it is. So do you know what you mean when you say that? Like, what's your vision for totally connected?
Yeah, I have ideas, but...
just like, so that if you ever wonder, like, gee, I wonder what it was like in 1930, poof, like an image of 1930 shows up and you're able to, like, completely experience it?
Yeah, isn't that that would be cool. That'd be weird. Why not? You know? With enough data, that's all memories are. It's just data. If you can represent touch, smell, you know, and that kind of stuff, your brain will interpret feelings and assign, you know, emotive quality to it. It'll be interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, a la The Matrix, sure. But, I mean, like, if you just think about the difference it would make, like, your family tree. Isn't it preposterous that most of us don't know our family trees beyond our great-grandparents? Like, that's only 3 generations back, and we have no fucking idea. Like, if you actually started, like, recording your family tree now, like, I'm thinking about my child, Frankie. Like, you know, once your grandparents and great-grandparents die, they kind of disappear from the consciousness of that, you know, of your generation. And, I'm curious how that's going to change. Well, we're waxing philosophical over here. What the fuck are you doing?
It just suddenly occurred to me. You were talking about the blob people who couldn't breathe or something.
Yeah. What is that story?
I don't know, but I was looking for that story I told you about the school children on another planet. And it rains all the time, but the sun only comes out for 2 hours every 7 years or something like that.
Oh, and then one girl's stuck in the closet.
One girl's from Earth, and they hate her, and she said the sun is great and everything, and they don't believe her, and they lock her in a closet. And then the teacher says, children, it's time. You know, the sun's coming out for 2 hours every 7 years. And so they go out and play in the sun. They forget all about Margot, who they locked in the closet.
Man, that's scary.
And then it starts to rain, so they all come back in, and they're like, oh, shit.
She's
locked Margot in
the
class and she missed it. It's a Ray Bradbury story called All Summer in a Day.
I'm not going to read that story.
Well, somebody was talking about how when they were a little kid, her mom used to read it to her all the time. And she's like, why the fuck did she read me this story all the time?
Come on.
Because she wants
supposed
to lock
to read,
her
like,
in a closet.
Where the Wild Things Are to kids?
Yeah, I
like
love
that
book.
That was a great book.
That's a great book.
Who the Richard Scarry. Who the fuck wrote that book?
I don't know,
but it's 9:30. Isn't it a little
late
to be wondering where the wild things are? What are we fucking high?
This is where the wild things are, right here.
No, come on. Who wrote it? We can't end the show until we say...
Wikipedia.
We're not using, no.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Dude,
We're not ending the show until we say who wrote
like
Where
I
the Wild
Things
Are.
Like, I was memorizing author trivia when I was fucking 5 years old.
Yeah. I was.
Goddamn break, okay?
Well, then you come up with it.
It was written by... No, it's not Shel Silverstein, and it's not Richard Scarry. It's,
Spaghetti all over the place. Up the stairs and round the staircase.
Maurice Sendak.
I feel better.
Maurice Sendak.
I love
Shel
Silverstein.
He is from France.
God damn it. I think... Didn't they show the little kid's dong in that book?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, stop it with your closet homosexual crap.
That's what I keep saying.
It's not in the closet. I'm out there, baby.
All right, well, we are well on our way to an hour and a half show. This has been phenomenal. I think we ought to shut it down.
I think this show was
fantastic. Make it stop.
This show was a laughless wonder. Thanks a lot,
and
not
a high note.
Okay.
A laughless wonder.
I'm just kidding. It was a good show. It was a wonderful show. Actually, it was an excellent show.
Lots of good information.
Lots of great information. Websites.
Games.
Predictions, stories, sci-fi, games.
Philosophy.
Good times. We had a bare metal question of the week. We had why wows. Oh, I forgot about 4chan.org.
Oh, and now we have pterodactyls.
Well, hey, there's a baby sleeping. Jesus Christ.
You all right there, boo? Hey, look, here's the thing. 4chan. Numeral 4. CHAN.org. 4chan.org.
Why do we care about this?
I don't
know.
It's kind of like just this random...
I don't know, but
random website where a bunch of crazy people post things.
Okay. That's weird.
Some of it's funny. Oh, also, IkenHasCheeseburger.com. Cheeseburger is spelled C-H-E-E-Z burger.
Cheeseburger.
C-H-E-E-Z burger. I can has cheeseburger. And it's basically nothing but people who have done who are riffing on the LOL cat.
Oh.
You know, basically pictures of cats with words photoshopped onto them. So starting with the original of a plaintive cat that's like, I can has cheeseburger? Like that. And everything, every S is a Z and everything, you know.
I don't get this.
It's actually
okay, you're not supposed
really
to.
Funny. If
it's
you
like this little cat in a burrito that says Z... Please, or I mean, I've
no. This little cat
doesn't
was
make sense.
This cat was like inside of a sub bag that you would put like a sub sandwich in, and it says like Tube Cat says get out, you know, or something like that, or whatever.
It's a meme. It's an internet meme. It's like the squirrel with the big balls.
Yeah, kind of.
I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you
did. Gets that.
I still don't get that.
She gets that. The thing, it's. If you go and you look at them, you kind of start to understand, like, it just kind of gives you an idea of, like...
What does meme stand for?
Meme is a fad?
No, it has its...
Well, no, it,
it
does.
Has its roots
it's
in
is it an acronym? What is a meme?
No, a meme is an idea.
According to memetic
concept.
Theory, a meme is a unit of cultural information, cultural evolution, or diffusion.
There you go.
It propagates from one mind to another analogously to the way in which a gene propagates from one organism to another as a unit of genetic information and biological evolution. Richard Dawson in 1976 coined the term meme.
This is why we win at Scrabble.
That's right, fucker. All right. Let's go.
All right,
end
we're
of
done.
Show.
End
but anyway, show. I can has cheeseburger. It's really fun. I think they're hilarious.
Okay.
There was one really funny one where there's you know that little cat toy. It's like a wand with a pom pom on the end of it. It's like sitting on a chair. And a cat.
This is not nearly as funny
listen,
as if you
cat,
actually see it.
A cat
My
has
God.
Poked its head up on the side of the chair, and he's looking at the toy. And at the bottom, the guy wrote, "It suspects nothing."
This is about as funny as trying to describe a nightmare to somebody else. It's just wrong.
All right, I give up. I can't help you guys.
Yes.
I can't help you guys.
Normally, nightmares are hilarious. Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh yeah, they're hilarious to you, but try describing it to somebody else.
Not nightmares, you dope dreams. Nightmares aren't hilarious. Nightmares suck.
Nightmares are hilarious.
Have you ever had a nightmare?
Yeah.
No,
many. What I'm saying is they're hilarious trying to describe them to somebody else because they're so dumb.
Yes, what hijinks.
Yes. What hijinks.
All right.
Jesus.
Anyway.
People are slow tonight.
Please visit dial-a-dork.com. Buy a shirt or something else at our Cafe Press store, cafepress.com/dialadork. No hyphen. Email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com. And that's it. You got anything else to say? Because I'll end the fucking show right now. We have outro music. You don't need to do the
I just wanted to do that.
The Ferris Bueller outro music.
Please remember to get that domain that we're going to squat on.
Which one?
The one without the hyphens.
When does it come due?
I don't remember.
I think it's in July.
You remember to do that.
Okay, I'll try.
End of line.
All right, bye everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Get all those pimps together. It was live.